Welcome to Extra Points with your host, Cousin Sal, and his pals, Dave Damaschek and Charlotte Wilder.
All right, welcome to Extra Points, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal here with my good pals, Dave Damaschek and Charlotte Wilder. Guys, we are coming off. I'm still dizzy from last night. I don't want to talk politics too much, but I watched the debate, as I'm sure almost 100 million people did last night. And Dave, you know how I am. As long as someone is more upset than I am, I start getting giddy. And my wife is screaming at the television. And I realize that's her football now. And I'm just kind of laughing at it. But what a mess.
Yeah.
What a mess indeed.
Well, listen, on the intersection of our Venn diagram, Sal, we both really enjoy conflict between people close to us, or, you know, watching other people. The big division for us is I don't like to be involved in the conflict. So this should have been more satisfying to me, watching two other people butt heads the way they did.
Right.
I find myself, this seems to fit very neatly into what's shaping up to be one of the worst weeks of the COVID-19 experience here.
Oh,
well, we don't even know, you know, now the thing that was our salvation was pro football. And now I don't, you know, everybody's heard by now, Nashville, Tennessee doesn't have a football game on Sunday, at least. We'll see when that one's going down.
Your team screwed up, Dave. I didn't read the fine print, but I can only imagine it's the Steelers doing
probably, here. Yeah. Fair.
Yeah, that's it. Charlotte, how you doing?
I mean, that was true. Last night was like one of the worst things I've ever witnessed in my entire life. I tweeted this, but I was like, this makes me long for Jets Broncos.
Yeah, no kidding.
It was kind of just like horrible and cruel and uncomfortable. And I just kept sort of like rolling around on the couch, and the person I was watching with was like, you look like you're being, are you being tortured? Like this, it was like physically, I just felt sick the whole time. So,
all right, Charlotte, but, you know,
then I woke up to the amazing news that, you know, NFL games are being canceled because of COVID. So that's great.
Let's get into this. I know it is so much. And as Charlotte said, we could look forward to the crappy Thursday night game. That's the Jets and Broncos.
I'm legitimately looking forward to that.
We need
I'm
something,
like, oh, thank
right?
God we have Jets Broncos.
Well, we got NBA finals tonight too. And we'll talk about that. But okay. So early in the week, the Titans reports came back that three players and five officials tested positive for COVID. Then this morning it came out that another Tennessee Titan tested positive, and everyone was excited because they weren't players of note. It wasn't Steven Gostkowski, the comeback player of the year. He wasn't one of them that tested positive. It was Daquan Jones. It was Bo Brinkley, a long snapper, and a tight end on the practice squad, Tommy Hudson. The bigger issue was the facilities were closed down. The Titans facility was closed down until Saturday. The Vikings, who played the Titans, closed their facilities down, not as late as Saturday, but still for a couple of days. So what does this mean in terms of the week four games? Steelers, Titans, now we hear this morning, we just heard right before we went on, postponed, not being played Sunday. They're leaving Monday open as an option. Dave, are your Steelers going to be ready? Is this that unfair an advantage? I think it kind of is. I don't know that they're doing full practice hitting 4 days a week like they used to, but it does seem like Saturday, even to Monday, would be an unfair advantage.
I definitely think it's a decided advantage. I think, though, that given the way teams practice these days, I think if you're applying some, 1996 standard of, as you say, these full collision practices, those things don't really happen as much going into week four as much as they used to anyway. But yeah, I mean, listen, it seems also punitive to go out and play this week, even though you haven't been at the facility all week. Right. And then other people are saying, well, the Titans have to take the L on this. They have to forfeit the game. That also seems a little severe. The other side of it is, though, what are you going to really, what's the answer here with scheduling it? People are pretty cavalier about, like, we'll just kick it to the bye weeks. Well, they already don't have the same bye week. So that's going to create a headache, too. And this also assumes, well, this is the only one. So if we can just figure out how to squeeze this game in somewhere down the line, well, everything's fine. Yeah, that feels all of a sudden overly optimistic, doesn't it? That this is the only time we're going to have a dust up here?
I'm with you. We're not out of September yet, sadly. It's going to get cold. This is going to get worse. They had to have a plan in place for this exact scenario where only a handful of players that I don't want to say didn't matter to the roster, but, you know, inconsequential in terms of being able to field the team for Sunday. They had to have a plan in place, and I get shutting the facility down, but Charlotte, I think moving these games to a different week this early really creates some kind of, it's a log jam of a mess. And I don't know if they could utilize Tuesdays. I feel like if they open the facility Saturday and there was a game Tuesday, I get the Players Association only allows for so many short weeks, but teams play Sunday and then Thursday. They could play Tuesday and then Sunday. I don't know. I'm so messed up about this.
No, I mean, I think that's a good thought. I hadn't thought of that. I think that when it comes to sort of the fairness or advantages or whatever, from a competitive balance standpoint, to me, that almost seems like a moot point, right? Because like, if you want to have these games at all, we're going to have to adapt, and things might not be at the parity that people want. Is just not going to be there if you want these games, because there are only so many days, there are only so many weeks. Like, and to say like, oh well, it's the Titans' fault. Like they deserve to not practice, or like they did this to themselves, whatever. Like, I have problems with that too, because what if they were all following the rules? Like, this is a virus. This isn't like you didn't go out and get drunk and have a hangover. Like, what if you went to a store and talked to someone for too long who had like. Yeah. We don't know that it was reckless, is what I'm trying to say. And I think that it's just a really tough situation. And sports fans love to like look for the blame or look for whose fault was this or where did we go wrong. And it's like, we might not have those answers this year. Mm-hmm. And they don't matter. So we just have to figure out how to adapt. I think Tuesday would make a lot of sense from a, you know, Tuesday to Sunday, if you do Sunday to Thursday perspective. And I think it just sort of depends whether the Players Association is willing to make those bends to the rules, knowing that hopefully they won't have to in the future if we get this thing under
control.
And
I think in terms of the punitive instances, yeah, you're right. It's one thing if the Giants are on a party boat, and then it's like, all right, we can give them a forfeit right there. And by the way, they'd probably be happy to take one right now and not have to risk injury and play. But yeah, man, I don't know. It's too early for this. It really is. I'm starting to move stuff around.
Well, this is what we talked about 2 months ago. And certainly, obviously, everybody wants the season to finish and wanted a season desperately 2 months ago. And they want this now that we've whet our appetite just a little bit. Mm-hmm. All we had so far was one square of cheese, or we only had one pig in the blanket, you know, so far with that. I still need dinner now. Like, you can't now say, that's it, go home. Like, my stomach hasn't begun to be full yet. Imagine if they have to shut this thing down. I can't fathom how sorrowful we'll all be.
I don't see that happening. I feel like the train has left the station, you know, and I feel like maybe it means bringing in, college player. I don't know. I feel like there's going to be some way that...
I do too. You got the billionaire owners. You got a massive amount of money with these leagues. They're going to forge forward. I just can't believe they didn't have a specific plan for this scenario, which seems like just basically not crossing the line, just a few players. And I guess they do have to shut everything down. Dave, I talked to a prominent member of the NFL community tied to the Players Association. He said, get ready. A couple months ago, like you said, he said, get ready. Your favorite team is going to forfeit a couple of games. So,
yeah, but it's, I mean,
I guess we do have to get ready for that.
To Charlotte's point, right. You're going to have to blur your eyes a little bit as a fan, and the final standings might include a couple of L's that weren't even earned by 60 minutes of football. It might just end up playing out that way. I don't know, though. I mean, I don't think it's as easy as just saying maybe the best idea of them all is where Cousin Sal started out 6-8 weeks ago. We need to get back to bubble rock. I mean, legitimately figure out where we're going to bubble this thing, because practically it isn't a baseball game. It's not like we'll just play a doubleheader now. That's all. You're just going to. Football, you can't bend it. You can only mess around with it so much. You can't play games in the middle of the week and then say, yeah, now you're going to play on Sunday too. I mean, and people say, well, they do the Thursday night thing. Think of the PR disaster. Think of the NFL telling the NFLPA after a significant injury to a player, how that's going to go over if you say, sure. Yeah, you're going to play on Tuesday night now. Well, we weren't ready for that. And then someone of prominence goes down in that game. That's going to be another headache. Ah,
there's no good answer. There just isn't.
Bubble is the answer.
They should have known bubble for sure was the answer because this is not baseball, and baseball had its problems too. They had a really rally with the Cardinals and Marlins to get those games replayed. And like you said, doubleheader, seven innings, you could do that. Can't do that with football. Football teams travel with, at minimum, I think they're big, like 115 players and personnel and staff and doctors and officials and all that stuff. Baseball, you could get away with 40 or 50. So all right there, the numbers are doubling right there. The season is twice as long, so the numbers are doubling again. We're going to be I don't want to be negative about this, but and then Charlotte, the Raiders were seen out at a charity event maskless. Now, this is the new way to get in trouble in Las Vegas. Derek Carr, Nathan Peterman, Jason Witten, Zay Jones, among a few of them. They were in Vegas. They were at a charity event. They were maskless and there were pictures. And now that's a big thing. I don't know. I just hear these guys. They're like, hey, we're doing good for the community. Why are you giving us shit? I could see that being the reaction. But by the same token, I guess this is irresponsible. And if this led to COVID, it'd be a problem, right?
Mark Davis said that.
Yeah.
He said, I'm bummed that, you know, this became the story instead of the good that we're doing for the community, which like, yes, it was to help kids or people overcome drug and alcohol addiction, which is a worthy cause. That's wonderful. That doesn't mean, however, that you should be at a country club with a bunch of people not wearing masks.
Yeah, right.
Like, are they trying to tank the season, especially after Gruden's had all those fines? He was fined $100,000. The team was fined $250,000 because a coach couldn't keep his damn mask on. Mm-hmm. And now you have these, and Davis attended the thing virtually, right? And he's out here being like, oh, well, it's too bad. And like, I do want to say, though, Sal,
these are Gruden's grinders. Yeah.
Yeah. It felt really good to have a normal laugh when you just said Nathan Peterman's name.
Thank you.
I'll take the glass half empty side of that. When you said that Derek Carr and Nate Peterman are out together, I'm like, we don't send. There's a reason why we don't put the president and vice president on a plane together. They're like, at least have the good sense to stay separate.
I see.
Jason Witten and Foster Moreau. Same goes for you. Where's the tight end depth chart going to be if both of you come down with it? Come on.
Right. Dave wants everybody separated. I get it. All right. Well, Charlotte, that's good. If ever we seem like we hit a lull, I'll just throw Nathan Peterman's name in there and I'll.
Please. It really felt nice.
So in other words, Sal, you're saying stand by.
Yeah, just stand by. Okay. Everybody just stand by. Stand by. We don't have to act right now. I know it's a couple of days removed, but I do want to talk about the short goalpost in Monday Night Football. I had a substantial wager. This is a dumb bet, but that both teams, the Chiefs and the Ravens, would have two touchdowns and a field goal. At least two touchdowns and a field goal. So the missing, I just needed a field goal out of the Chiefs. Now, they should have had two attempts because they went for it on fourth down with like 8 seconds left in the game. But anyway, that's always a screwed up situation. But when Harrison Butker lines up for a field goal, I think it's 53 yards. He kicked it. It went over the upright, I think, on the good side of it. The replay shows that it was good. Dave, Carolla's been screaming about this for years. Extend the goalposts. What better year to do this when there's no or few fans out there? You're not going to obstruct view. But for God's sakes, why can't they review this? They called it no good. Two idiot officials are looking up at the moon and they're like, I guess it's no good. They can't review it. You can review a touchdown, any scoring play, that's 6 points. You can review a safety, as we saw with Zeke Elliott the other day. That's 2 points. Why the hell can't they review? And I'm not even saying it would be overturned. Why can't they review a field goal?
In the name of Rich Carlis, nay, in the name of Cleveland Browns fans who sat there in old Cleveland Stadium and watched barefooted Rich Carlis kick the Broncos into a Super Bowl on a ball that would have hit the upright, and I don't like the Browns. All the way back to then, of course, it made sense to do it. I solved this. The only answer is, and by the way, kickers are too good anyway. You shouldn't be kicking a 53-yarder over the goalpost to begin with. That connotes too easy. These guys have too strong of legs now. They've gotten to, legitimately, kickers are too good at this point for what football strategy was kind of supposed to be. You weren't supposed to drill 58 yarders with regularity.
Right.
The solution is raise the standard by completing the square or rectangle, put a crossbar across the across the goalpost, have to make it through the box, you see, not just through the post, but through the box. Then it makes short kicks harder because you got to get it through but beneath the bar. Right. And there's no guesswork. That's the main virtue of this. It'll just go through
the score. Interesting. That's
the
not,
one problem
that's
with
good.
This, though, is that kickers get so much hate from fans already. Imagine if you make it into a box and then fans are even, I don't know. I feel like making kickers miss more is just a recipe for social media disaster.
Yeah.
Well, I advocate, listen, I'm old school enough that I would say what we should ban is sidewinder kickers. You know, and that's not me being xenophobic about European guys, diminutive.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
No, listen, here's what it is. Is what the head-on kicker, I mean, Paul Hornig, I know this is quite a ways.
Oh, my God,
well, listen,
Dave.
It used to be standard that you only...
Can we review these plays or not?
Yes, let me just say they should be able to review him.
Paul Hornig, the golden guy, you know, of them all, you know, he's a Heisman Trophy winner. He's the halfback supreme for the Green Bay Packers. He also was their place kicker. And one year he made 1/3 of all kicks he attempted. This jive about Justin Tucker being the MVP of a Super Bowl contender perennially is weird math to me. And I say whatever we can do to diminish, marginalize the value of a kicker, I'm all for that. That's my
take it up with Jerry Ferrara. Jerry spent $9,000 on Justin Tucker.
I was happy
Monday
for
night.
Him when he made that kick right out of the gate.
I just hate that they are lost, the referees. There's no more on point scenario where referees are lost more than when there's a high kick and they look at each other and then I think they text their wives and then they try to figure out, or the husband maybe, and they just and then they figure it out and they look at each other and that's it, and then the play goes away. It's 3 points. Half the Chiefs are celebrating, think it's a good field goal. Anyway,
I do encourage everybody to just test what Sal's saying with like two octogenarians standing underneath these goalposts and looking up at them. Go ahead and look up and see how disoriented you immediately get. You can't tell anything. You're like, did that go over? I can't tell. I'm an old man at this point, but my eyeballs start to spin in my head if I look up too long, you know, at the cloud.
Yeah.
How can you tell if the ball went through? That's how we're doing this? Come on.
And there's a million lights, and you could lose it in one of the lights, and it could be obscured at exactly the wrong time.
I love the thought of Dave just going outside and trying to look at the clouds for a while without passing out.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Well, it's just great.
Is that what you've been doing with all your free time?
Directly into the sun. But it is a funny moment too when they look at each other. Like, what do you think?
Yeah.
Like, yeah? Oh, okay. Ready? Should we do it together? Yeah, let's both do it.
It's a synchronized bad call. Let's do this. Let's make sure we get
people
this right.
People love talking about the yard, the first down markers, but this definitely applies to the two old guys standing behind the goalpost trying to assess if it went through.
Yeah. Run for president if you want. We don't need you on our field. Hey, Charlotte, Patrick Mahomes. I don't begrudge anyone, but I don't think anyone should have as good a year as he is during this pandemic. Super Bowl win, crazy, crazy contract, right? And now he's having a baby. He and his fiance, not married. I don't like that at all. I don't even think that should be allowed. No, he and his fiance, they announced they're having a baby. How much good can happen to one person in a single year?
Well, I have a theory. Here's my theory. I think that there is only so much good luck or so much good fortune that exists in the world. And maybe 2020 is such a trash fire because Pat Mahomes has sucked all of the good fortune into his own body in Kansas City. Look, this guy wins a Super Bowl, Super Bowl MVP. Then he gets, you know, $500 million over, what is it, 10 years? Yeah. Then he becomes a part owner of a Kansas City Royals, which is just very cool to own a baseball team. Then the day that he gets his Super Bowl ring, he proposes to his girlfriend. Then a month later, he's like, oh, also I'm going to be a dad. And it's like, what? How? You know, I hope that this keeps going for him. I want it to get even better. I want like a fairy godmother to show up and be like, no, man, what else do you want? Because someone has to have a good year.
Yeah. I don't know, Dave. I get a little jealous and petty with this stuff.
I hear you. If it makes you feel... I get the same way. Not everybody else.
You guys.
Everybody else is good news.
Sorry, Charlotte. This is it. These are the idiots.
You're like, I hate it. Yeah. I hate how happy Pat Mahomes. Sorry, Patrick. His mom says we're not supposed to call him Pat.
I mean,
it's Patrick.
Can I say it does feel a little Ricardo Montalban on Fantasy Island? Like, you know, he always would tell Tattoo, like, what is so-and-so here for? And he's like, Patrick is living the dream. But he may have wished for a little bit too much, you know?
Right,
are we
right.
sure? Oh, and like, look at the details. He owns a baseball team. Ooh, that's neat. It's the Royals. Bleh. Yeah, you want to own the Royals? Oh, he's getting married and he's starting a family. Yeah, he's 19 years old. Is that a great life
he's
move?
He's not 19.
Whatever he is. He's got
Dave,
all the money in the
like
world.
24.
Is this the best time to be getting married and doing all this? Listen, do it when you're 30.
It's true.
All right, I'd say he's trying to bring us all back down to earth a little bit.
I'm with you. Yeah,
meantime,
he's ruining his life.
Do it when you're 30, Dave Damachek, on marriage. What are you talking about, man?
He's ruining his life. I like that angle. I like that a lot.
Thank you. And also, what's not going to ruin his life, what's going to make him even more desirable, I guess I should say, more marketable and otherwise, is when his team goes 16-0, because all of a sudden, all the discussion, and by the way, kudos to us collectively for having that conversation several hours in front of Monday Night Football about the MVP race being settled before we even saw Mahomes and Lamar Jackson play,
yes.
Let alone the 13 more games. Well, asterisk the 13 more games.
Four
at
more
this
games.
Point. But anyhow, yes, now the conversation has rightly switched to who's going to ever beat this Chiefs team, and I think Charlotte and I were on board with that, and you weren't too reluctant about that either. Who is going to beat them at this point?
Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait, Dave. You forced us and got mad at me for not letting you pick the game, and you went at the very end, you took the Ravens.
I don't,
so what do you,
you
mean?
You both took the Ravens.
I took the Ravens also.
I took the Chiefs. After week one, I just want to say, after week one, I wrote, who will stop this Chiefs team? They're going 16-0. So
where did you write that? You didn't write that.
I did write that. I'll send you the link.
Show it. Show us the piece of paper where you wrote that.
It's right here. See? There
it
is. Oh,
there you go. Oh,
right. She couldn't have a cell phone if that were a lie, obviously. Liz. Oh, no, we had that conversation after the Thursday night game, the season opener.
Right.
Charlotte and I agree. I said 14-2, and I think I underrated it a little bit.
I said 16-0.
Right. And
interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
But for real, who's getting in their way? I mean, what team rightly?
We'll
they're going to lose.
It's fun to talk about football, isn't it, though? Isn't it fun to not to worry about the other stuff and just try and figure out who's stopping that team? It was crazy what they did to the Ravens.
Because I think we saw what they did to the Chargers, and through three quarters, Mahomes was a pedestrian quarterback, but that just goes to show you these teams get up for some games and they don't get up for others. You can make the case that a team going on the road is no longer a benefit for the, you know, the home team. Like, okay, that makes sense. In the case of Aaron Rodgers, he could hard count the Saints offsides in the Superdome. Never would have been able to do that otherwise with fans. But who gets in the way? It's football. You have a bad three quarters and maybe you can't come back. I think that's the best case scenario for the Chiefs. Look at Charlotte, furiously looking for her article.
I'm not looking for my article. That I know where it exists. I can say I'm looking at the Chiefs schedule to see like what the funniest the funniest
Nathan
loss,
Peterman's
the
Raiders.
It's going to be the Bills. The Bills aren't going to beat the Chiefs, and it's going to be the most chaotic thing ever.
America's team? No.
Oh, I think the Chiefs are America's team, by the way.
Don't you dare start with that.
Don't do this. We have too many problems. Too many problems in this world. You can't
we're
going to
start front running now. That's going to be our brand. The reigning world champions.
It's my brand. It can be my brand, and you guys can oppose it, and then everybody can like you more than me on the podcast, and I'll be the villain, and it'll be great narrative tension.
We must have the same brand. We agreed early on. I think it's in everyone's contract. We have to have.
Have you guys seen Ted Lasso? The show.
I have not watched it yet because we canceled doing the Apple TV because it wasn't satisfying for the first couple of months. And we said we have too many shows but now I'm regretful.
True. I that's true. But Ted Lasso, it's actually fairly funny. And there's one joke where someone says, I have a branding meeting, and Ted Lasso, who's Jason Sudeikis, he goes, well, you know, I feel bad for the cows, but otherwise you're going to lose them. And I just, I laughed really hard, and then I was embarrassed. Right. But he's from Kansas, so.
All right. Well, you're our Teddy
Lasso.
How about
this?
Then,
the connection is I'm watching The Vow right now, and that also deals with branding. So same page.
Oh, God.
I can't squeeze shows in. It takes me 3 nights to watch Inside the NFL. And then
I start an episode at midnight. That's how I do it.
Is that what you do?
Yeah,
wow.
It's awful.
I think you get, being in New York, you get 3 extra hours or something. I don't know.
How long does it take you to hear Ray Lewis talk about, like, this one, to me, this one, JB, this one comes down to who wants it more.
I don't care. I love it. I still love it. I know it's ridiculous. I still love it. And they pick by the spread now. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, I do.
They pick all the
games. I love Brandon Marshall, but Brandon Marshall announcing.
He has no idea.
He doesn't have any idea. Does he need to announce 137 times
every
in a four-minute segment? I don't understand. What's it mean, 4.5? What does that mean?
Well,
how many times can you say it, Brandon Marshall?
I wonder if that is, if they're overplaying that purposely so they could do the gambling 101 thing where Phil Simms says to him, now, the Chiefs are favored by 7. So, Brandon, if you take New England, you're already starting with 7. I think they need that little tutorial in the beginning, whether he's on board or not. But Ray Lewis is, he's there. He's been, Michael Irvin, these guys, I feel like they've been gambling for years. Anyway, here's something to gamble on or stay away from. Thursday Night Football, Denver at the Jets. That's tomorrow. Denver was a 3-point favorite. Now they're like 1.5, 39.5. Can you imagine an over-under in today's NFL at 39.5, anything under 40? It's a stay away, but I think I'm taking the Jets. One of these New York teams has to do something one of these weeks. I'm not sure where the offense comes from, but it's a same kind of scenario with Denver, right? Cortland Sutton banged up. You have your backup quarterback in there. Locke is out. No Von Miller. What a
Jarrell
disaster
Casey
of the game.
Now out for the season.
Sure.
I mean, they've Casey's become out. The Chargers now, really, in terms of volume of injuries and the significant members, no less. Yeah, the Jet. It's funny, though. I think the bottom line is what you said. It's got to be a stay away because things are imploding there with the Jets. Mm. It's not a matter. I'm about the cliche now, but really, it's not a matter of if, but when with Gase. There's no way he said. I mean, realistically, what's he going to do now to salvage this mess with the Jets? Bottom line is, this is exactly what we deserve on this week. This is the game.
Yeah.
The Broncos and Jets. On Thursday night, and then Sunday night, Carson Wentz's Eagles against Nick Mullins, 49ers.
Yeah, right.
Sheesh.
I love it so much.
It's good.
Just like disaster football to match the mood. I'm into it. Mm-hmm. Look, I think that what the NFL gods are doing is making us appreciate literally anything we can get.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. We got that going for us.
Yeah, we definitely have that going. The other thing, Dave, is and Charlotte, the coaches who are on the hot seat, the hottest seats, Dan Quinn and Adam Gase are now featured in primetime. So there's an even bigger spotlight on them. You know,
wait, what's the Falcons?
Thursday,
is that
Dan
Packers?
Dan Quinn is right at the Packers. That's Monday night, right?
Yeah.
There's the stinker that Dave mentioned on Sunday night. There's this Thursday night disaster, and then there's Monday. But just the fact that these coaches who are on their way out are going to be shown on the sidelines in front of millions. We could stay away from this game. I'll lean towards the Jets, but I'm going to promote our extra points for extra pay parlay. We're going to have that for you Friday. We lost by 0.5 last week. Charlotte, don't duck out of frame here because you were the one
I'm
who lost.
I'm getting my water.
I know.
I feel really bad still, so I'm embarrassed.
You should. You lost by 0.5. We would have cashed in again 2 out of 3 weeks. I'm not sure FanDuel would have appreciated that, but we appreciate our partnership with them because, you know, Extra Points brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. By now, probably heard about FanDuel Sportsbook. World-class sports betting app. FanDuel makes it easy to find and place your bets. We got some of the best odds you'll find anywhere. Fun bet types. It's the only spot where you can place a same game parlay NFL bet this season. And when you win, they even get you your winnings in as little as 24 hours, which is nice because who the hell knows if we have more than 24 hours left, right? So if they pay you and that's that, right now, new users can place their first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. I don't understand how this is even a thing. Seriously, though, no strings attached. Just place any bet you want. You win, you keep the cash. You lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back site credit. Start betting. Download FanDuel Sportsbook app. Be sure to sign up with promo code Extra Points so they know we sent you. FanDuel Sportsbook promo code Extra Points. You have to be 21 or older, present in New Jersey, Illinois, West Virginia, Indiana, Colorado, or Iowa. First online real money wager counts only. The site credit is non-withdrawable and expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. And if you have a gambling problem, which I do, call 1-800-GAMBLER in West Virginia. You visit www.1800gambler.net. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Colorado, call 1-800-522-4700. And in Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. But the bets are on for us starting Friday. We're going to come up with a winner. Let's do it. We've teased the public too much. We won our first one. We got trounced week two. We came back. We were very, very close in week three. And let's make everyone happy.
I'm trying to think what pro football team that makes us right now. I don't know that anybody really is tracking 1-1-1.
The Cowboys.
Okay. Yeah, that's a pretty, yeah, that's about as good. Right. Yeah. The beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Are we doing well, badly?
We're Sal's team.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go. I'll take
you
that.
Want to talk about what's bad, though, to put it into perspective for
literally everything.
Exactly. But worse, we can concede. Better to be Patrick Mahomes or even a Chiefs fan right now than to be a Jets or Giants fan. To put it into grim perspective for you, Sal, lay out a nice parlay for us on who's going to win more games, the state of Ohio or the state of New Jersey the rest of the way here. Because that,
oh, wow.
How grim is that? I mean,
Ohio.
I mean, by far, oh, well, it's not even close. And when we're talking about Browns and Bengals, certainly should win more games. But then the other side of that is, I as loco as it sounds, how do we know that the Giants aren't going to end up winning that grotesque division right now? I mean, I think your guys are going to end up winning it, right, Sal? Don't you feel good even though things are...
I do. Yeah, that's the whole thing. Like, when Cowboys beat the Falcons, I was bummed. I wasn't that excited because I'm like, we'll play the Seahawks next week. We're going to lose that game. I was right about that. But even losing to the Seahawks, I'm looking at the rest of the division. I'm like, I don't know anyone else can win 8 games in this division. The Cowboys offense just seems to, you add Cedric Wilson to the equation and everything else. At least that's a unit. And Dave, you talked about this. Eventually, everyone's defense will catch up or not. But right now, there's not really a good defense in the NFL. And you can point to the Washington team in the NFC East, but throw away that first game. And I think they're like -6 in turnover differential and stuff. Not a good team by any stretch. So I'm not too worried. I think Ohio will have, they'll have like 12 or 13 wins between Cincinnati and Cleveland.
Let's not
right?
get crazy. I mean, I don't know how many the Bengals are going to end up winning. So then you're riding on the Browns. It's I think it's a little closer. Initially you say, well, obviously Ohio is, but think it through. The Giants are not too far behind their division rivals. And
But look at
you
the
know
numbers.
What's
what are the Jets and Giants going to have? 5 wins, 6 wins each. That's way, way pie in the
sky.
That
feels generous.
I don't know. Yeah, it's weird. And now all these teams this early in the season talking about firing coaches and everything. I wonder if COVID kind of is like, just leave it, trying to make a big change at this point. I don't know what's going to happen with any of that. But with the Cowboys, the other thing that we've been talking about is the assumption. Mm-hmm. It's confusing to our eyeballs. It's confusing to a fan to look at the same uniform year to year, and so you apply your expectation of what you saw 6 months ago to right now, and this ongoing thing about the Dallas Cowboys, their position of strength is their offensive line, is not true.
No, it's
but I think the Cowboys,
but they'll score 40 points anyway a lot of time if it's thrown for 470 with an average offensive line.
I think the thing is, look, you have Zeke. I mean, of all the guys Freeman went away and David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell, the one guy who is the last man standing about the of those highly paid running backs who continues to thrive, or at least has the potential to thrive, is Zeke. They got to get back to that. And I think you're well positioned, for what it's worth, that as the season wears on, specifically on defense, it's pass rush. And you guys should be able to generate a big pass rush as things go on. I do think that that's what ends up giving you the division, even though it might be 9-7.
You know what's going to happen.
Tell me. I'd love any prediction.
The state of Ohio is going to have 6 ties.
Oh, right. Oh, interesting. We have to.
That's what's going to happen.
Right. Interesting. 6 ties. I think they would go for
now.
That.
I'm calling it now.
Oh, it'd be funny if everyone started tying this year. That would be so.
Remember when the Browns hadn't won a game in 16 games and then they tied?
Yeah, you had the open the fridge thing. Yeah. By the way, Dave, you forgot your beloved Buffalo Bills in the equation for a New York team. Winning New York versus Ohio.
I said New Jersey. I was careful to say New Jersey and leave out America.
I did say New Jersey.
Jim Cunningham, someone sent us an email telling us, and I had seen it at the same time, that ESPN's on board with this Buffalo Bills as America's team nonsense. I think we have audio, right?
Kevin, Mike, back on SportsCenter. Oh, America's team took your boy on an emotional roller coaster Sunday. Our Bills home to the Rams.
This is catching on, and Dave's going to take credit. And I want it to go away as much as COVID, but it doesn't look like it's going to.
I mean,
I'm just going to start. If I were an announcer, I would call every team America's team. It'd be like, it would be the Raiders. And I'd be like, and here comes America's team.
Because
why not? You know?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that bit of cynicism's about there, Wilder. But listen, this is an important movement.
just a little snark.
As we need it. This is what we need this right now. The Bills are our team. Josh Allen, it's all great. I'm not going to make my case again right now. People are now starting to make it for me. Pick it up. Get on board. Jump on. What do they say? Get on the wagons. Let's go. Chris Berman.
Circle the wagons. That's not your thing. That's Berman's thing. Don't try to steal that.
Teach. You got the Kansas City Chiefs. You got the Baltimore Ravens. You got the Pittsburghs. Look, there are a lot of talented football teams in the AFC. But the Buffalo Bills are doing something pretty special. This just in, Josh Allen can play football. Back on the blitz.
I think he took the Bills versus the Niners in the Super Bowl like 9 years in a row when neither team was good. The other thing, Chris Berman is a ginger now. I don't know if you guys saw. Red hair.
Chris Berman.
He's a ginger. Did you guys see it Monday? I don't know if you saw it.
Did he dye his hair?
I guess so. Or maybe he's been dyeing it all these years and he's naturally a redhead.
Chris Berman was one of my best friend's dads, lived on the same hall as him in college, and said he was just like exactly the same. And he would go to the radio station, just like have all these catchphrases for like the Brown lacrosse team. And I loved that so much.
Where are we on the hair dye for fellas, Sal? I'm thumbs down on it.
I'm thumbs down until I have to do it, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, do whatever you want, though, right?
Sure. No, Charlotte, again, that's not our brand. Do whatever you want.
Sorry. Someone did say I was reading the reviews on iTunes, which I probably shouldn't read the comments, but someone was like, Sal, you have an edge. Charlotte makes you soft. So maybe I should have more of an edge. I don't know.
No. I need to be softer. I'm told that every single
minute of my
life.
No, let's keep it going.
But wait.
We need to please that one commenter.
All right. Well, I'm going to dye my hair and see if that
spiritually, I'm with you, Charlotte. Do whatever you want. If you think you're fooling people, though, that's
the
idea when you see guys on camera with suddenly jet black hair, like this looks good, right? Nobody knows, right? we can tell. And by the way, this is coming from somebody who uses the magic hair pepper and fills in his flesh yarmulke on the back. So
do you really?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I fill in the flesh.
You draw your hair on?
Well, I don't do Ron Popeil spray. I do the new, it really looks like literally like a pepper shaker. And I pour it on the back of my head. And a half second later, I got a thick mane all the way back. Flesh yarmulke gone. People say, why don't you just get, plugs in the back there? And the answer is, if you think it through, is like, because my hair is going to continue to go. And then I would have this tuft of hair right in the middle. And then I would get a flesh moat around this hair island in the back of my head.
But just rock the bald, you guys. Come on. Well,
you just said I could do whatever I want. And the key difference is that you can't tell I'm peppering my flesh yarmulke. I can tell that you're dyeing your hair.
Interesting. Now, Dave, do you do this just for television, or you wake up and do this? When you're not on television.
A couple of years ago. Yeah. I mean, I started it about 3-4 years ago. I tilted my head down while on camera. And a laser beam of white light flashed back and almost blinded me. And so I decided from that day forward, I had to pepper my hair when I was going on camera. And then a couple of years ago, I wasn't going on camera. And I knew I wasn't going
slippery
on
slope.
Camera. And
hair pepper is the gateway drug to hair dye.
And I said, it's not going to hurt anybody if I pepper my hair.
No kidding. Well, here's what I'll say about it. Charlotte, I don't know if you've seen this stuff, but it's pepper. It's also like fish food, though.
Yeah.
Like the makeup artists.
I've never
hair person,
seen. I truly have no idea what you're talking
about. And they just fill it in. And as the years go on, the fill job becomes longer and longer. And it's depressing to get it going. Yes, I did it. Here's the downside. I was on Fox Bet Live. Normally we are separated. I'm like 20 feet from Rachel Bonetta, but we had one of these episodes where the fellas were in town. So we all stayed together at the same desk. I'm next to Bonetta, arms distance away. I said something she didn't like. She takes her rolled up paper and hits me on top of the head. And then it came out smoke. And it was not something that you could have just gone and not commented on. In fact, they replayed it in slow motion many, many times. And just this, basically this, I don't know what it was, but it was like a volcano of fish food just flying in everyone's direction. It was not pretty.
There's nothing worse.
Also, I didn't know this was a thing. I'm learning so much.
People do. Yeah. People have seen, and by the way, I've had colleagues. Actually, I'm like, I can't see it. Do you mind peppering my hair? And I've literally had colleagues pepper my hair for me. That's a dark moment. But the worst moment is when people say, like, why are you using that stuff? I'm like, because I got the flesh yarmulke back there. They're like, no, you don't. You don't have anything. Let me see. And I'll put my head down. And the reaction that makes me know how bad it is when they go like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. Please proceed. It's embarrassing.
But Charlotte, it is embarrassing. And it's especially embarrassing. Charlotte, my wife is with you. She's like, because we've ruined like 37 pillowcases because of this stuff. Because you lay that and you forget sometimes, like, oh my God, am I dying? What the hell is going on here? But no, it's just the fish food peppering that's killing it. All right, I guess we should talk NBA now. It's over 40 minutes. We haven't even gotten to the main event, which is the LA Lakers and the Miami Heat. The odds for tonight are, according to FanDuel, Lakers are a 4.5-point favorite. 218.5 is the over-under. If you want the money line, you have to take the Lakers. You have to risk 194 to win 100. 100 gets you back 162 if you like the Heat. Boy, I don't know. 4.5 is just enough. It was 5. It went down to 4.5. Just enough to make you think about taking the Lakers. I would take the money line. I just think they're going to win game one. I think it's going to take a while for the Heat to figure it out before they steal a game. And I think it's Lakers in 5. Now, if you want to bet the series, you have to lay 340 to win 100. And that's a lot for the Lakers. But I found the go around here. LeBron, MVP. Only have to lay 165 to win 100. I don't know how, if the Lakers win the championship, LeBron doesn't get it. First of all, you got the social justice stuff. He's in forefront of it, obviously. You got the Kobe stuff. He had the special relationship with Kobe. He's also averaging more rebounds than Anthony Davis per game. I know this is not like Conn Smythe, Dave, where you take the whole playoffs. It is going to be the NBA Finals is what we're going to base this on. I just don't think they turn their backs on LeBron. I think that's the bet if you want to see value in the Lakers to win the title. Bet LeBron to win MVP.
Ooh, that's a fascinating thought, because to me, Anthony Davis, you know, I mean, obviously we can measure it by the numbers there, but Anthony Davis has his case to this point up there with LeBron. I guess that is the best. That's the best value at minimum. I definitely am with you that the Lakers win this series. The Heat are just an anomaly. It's something I've said ad nauseum that in the NBA, it's generally a build. You make the playoffs one year, then you get to the conference finals, then you're ready. The Heat have come out, Jimmy Butler notwithstanding. Who is this team? How did they get to the finals is remarkable. And shout out to the few people out there who we know that did make that call. And it was really a savvy choice there. But the Lakers couldn't be a more obvious pick here. And it scares me a little bit. And I'll ride with you on King James, because I'd love to see him get one, because I think he has been a transcendent figure in society for all the knocks he's taken. I'd love to see LeBron wind up this season, this weirdo season in the bubble, hoisting the trophy.
Yeah, and I think it's going to happen. What do you think, Charlotte? I was going to call you Tyler Herro. You know when I call you Tyler Herro once in a while?
Yeah, that thing we do.
Yeah, when I call you Tyler.
Yeah, no, for sure, Duncan Robinson. I think... So I have a few thoughts. I think I wrote this yesterday. I think one thing about the Heat is they are an anomaly, but I think they were perfectly suited to the bubble situation in a way that I did not see coming. You know, everyone talks about Heat culture, about how when you go there, you're really signing up for this degree of professionalism, of sort of boundaries, of very high expectations. They still have fun, obviously. You know, you have Jimmy Butler with his coffee shop out of his hotel room. But I feel like the bubble tested players mentally in a much more taxing way than I was expecting. And I think the Heat are there kind of more ready for it in a way that lets them. I mean, they're so good down the stretch. They can keep this momentum going. They have, you know, Myers Leonard on the bench cheering them on. They brought that energy that I think counts for a lot more in the bubble than just the basketball skill. And the basketball skill is really good too. And they got hot a little bit later in the season in the bubble. So yes, I'm going to take the Lakers. And I think it would be really great if the Lakers won, given Kobe, given LeBron. I want that for LeBron for his legacy too. But I think we can't let all of these legacies, all of these storylines with Pat Riley and LeBron and Spoelstra and all of these interpersonal relationships take away from the fact that what this team, what this Heat team did, not what, you know, the 2014, 2013, like what this Heat team did is absolutely remarkable and I think deserves its own credit. And I think it's going to be a closer series than we think. Like, really? I wouldn't be shocked if it went to 7 games. Yeah.
So you're saying Lakers in 7 or less?
I'm going to say
Lakers in 5.
I'm thinking Lakers in... I was going to say Lakers in 6, but now that I said Lakers in 7 as like a, I kind of want to take that. Like, why not? I'm going to roll with that. I'm going to see what these Heat can do. Lakers in 7.
Dave, your choices are Lakers or Heat and a number. It can't be less than 4 or greater than 7.
I'm taking the Lakers to sweep, as a matter of fact. And
really,
I also think that, you know, as I mentioned, the slings and arrows that LeBron has weirdly taken because he gets compared, he has the temerity to cut a profile that allows him to be compared rightly to the greatest to ever do it. Then people feel obliged to knock him down and tell you why he's not as good. I do think that the primary knock on LeBron is the finals record and whether or not you think that's fair that Jordan's undefeated and versus what LeBron's done. This would maybe be the worst one, though. If he doesn't get it, this with Anthony Davis standing next to him, I think this would be worse than going down to Dirk and company, you know, whatever that was, however many moons ago. What was that, 13 years ago now? Which, again, is testimony to LeBron's enduring greatness that was however long it was, 13 years ago, I think. But right, that this would be the worst finals failure in LeBron's career if he didn't get it.
Yeah, probably. Everything's so weird. But, you know, Charlotte, you brought up an interesting point where something that made me think of something like they were built for the bubble, this Heat team, where they adapted and they made it. It makes me think, like, normally you'd have a situation where the Heat would have a lot of butterflies going into, never having been in the finals, these guys before, but I don't think they have that. Maybe they do start on an even playing field in regards to emotionally how they get ready and are prepared for this, because they're already, it's just the bubble. It's everything's an extension right. of the bubble. The finals might not even be, you know, a more daunting task than anything they've already done before. I don't know. I'm just thinking through.
No, here. I think there's something to that. It was interesting. I was in the the Zoom press conferences yesterday, which is sort of hilarious that I'm sitting in Brooklyn and I'm, you know, in the quote interview room. And there was something, there is a real kind of sense of calm among all of the players. Obviously, you know, what can you really tell from a press conference, but they weren't jittery. They answered every question very head on. Jimmy Butler was very honest, actually, about like how he got there, how tumultuous everything else had been in his career. And it made me think, that's why I'm thinking it could go to game seven. I think that there is a level of calmness and like they're ready for this that I'd be a little worried about if I were LA. I mean, I wouldn't ultimately, because I think AD and LeBron are not going to be stoppable, but I think it's going to be fun. I'm excited. Yeah. I think this is the best sports thing we have going for us right now.
And I'm glad Jimmy Butler was honest. A lot of times he's out there and he's like, oh, if I didn't close down the borders, 2 million people would have died. Like, all right, calm down, Jimmy Butler. That's not you.
Sorry. Different trash fire.
He's a different guy. Lakers in five. I'm going to say LeBron wins MVP. I think LeBron wins it no matter what. If the Heat sweep, I think LeBron wins MVP. They'll figure out a way to give it to him. I don't know. Major League Baseball, let's quickly hit on that. 8 playoff games right now. There's one going on right now. It's crazy. It's 9 in the morning. There's one going on. The freaking Yankees, if you wanted to steer your attention from the debate yesterday, the only sports option you really had was the Yankees. Watch them thrash the Indians, and that wasn't fun. So we really had nowhere to go, no other outlet. What I do want to mention is Jim and Joel are very excited about their announcement. They've come up with a T-shirt or a bumper sticker. What is going on here, Jim or Joel? You guys weigh in with this.
Well, Tom Brady, you know, being the marketing genius he is, he came up with Tampa Bay. Very creative. Not really, but so Jim and I, we, you know,
the Pharaoh.
Yes, we pulled together the money, and we've trademarked Tampa Bay. And this is
Tampa Bay.
This is our exit strategy. This is our plan. And
this is more on point because the Tampa Bay Lightning won the Stanley Cup. You should explain a couple days ago. And now we have the
Rays.
The Rays are in the playoffs. They already have a win under their belt. and now the Bucks. I'm rooting for it for. Yeah, I'm rooting for you guys to strike it rich with this, but I don't know if I could stomach Tampa.
We thought of including you, and that's what we thought. You didn't want any part of this. You've got your own bubble rock stuff. This is for us. This was for us.
Okay. Yeah.
Can I buy a T-shirt and burn it?
Listen, we
kidding, guys.
Just gonna put holes in it.
I wouldn't buy a T-shirt.
We don't have size ironic, Charlotte. We don't sell it.
I was just gonna say, yeah, Charlotte will love it.
Do you have size?
She'll love it in 16 years. Then she'll wear it ironic.
Do you have size? Okay. Do you have size snark though? Can we get that?
We'll see what we can do.
Extra snark.
Thank you.
All right. Well, good luck with that, guys. Champa Bay. Oh no, Champa Bay. I'm not even saying it right. I'm getting Tom's thing mixed up, but Champa Bay, and now we just root for the Rays and the Buccaneers to win.
We only need two more teams to win a championship that probably, you know, we'll see. But
all right. Dave, you're on board? I always want to see these guys succeed. It's not going to happen.
Back to where we started. What's more 2020 than the epicenter of all things sports being Tampa Bay? A perfect way to wrap up this year.
There you go. All right, let's hit the mailbag real quick. From Adam Burke, he writes us, we're at theextrapointsgang@gmail.com, theextrapointsgang@gmail.com. Hey, Sal, Charlotte, and Dave, love the podcast and network. My brother and I are both big fans of the show. As Dak's final pass was intercepted in the end zone, I texted my brother and said, Sal is slipping the Blood Diamond Blu-ray into the player right now. He had no idea what I was talking about, despite being a big fan. Sal, he had never heard the story before. It's one of my favorite Sal stories. Would love it if you told it again on the podcast. Keep up the great work. Adam from St. Paul, Minnesota. P.S. Dave, drop the America's team bit and stick to what you know, uniforms, fruit, and recreational four. I agree. I don't even know that he knows those things, but drop the America's team. The Blood Diamond story is Tony Romo botches the snap, that crazy K-ball they've not since used. It was a shiny ball in Seattle. He takes it. He goes to run. He was the holder at the time, as well as the quarterback, and gets caught from behind, and the Cowboys lose a playoff game to the Seahawks. And I said to my wife, let's get out of here. Let's go see a movie or something. And we ended up seeing Blood Diamond. I don't even remember what point in the movie it had, but all my emotions came over me and I started crying. I started crying during Blood Diamond. It might have been the last time I cried outside of like family death or something. But so that's the story. That's the Blood Diamond moment for me. Tony Romo botching the snap. There you go.
Oh, my God. What's the most embarrassing movie you've ever cried? Or like the funniest movie you've cried during?
Oh, interesting.
It's a good one.
That's a good one. I think we hit this on Laugh Lines. Not most embarrassing, but movie that'll make you cry every time.
No, but like what's one that you shouldn't cry at that you definitely cry
all right
at?
What's yours, Wilder? I know you want
to
say
well, now I'm trying to think. It might be something like 13 going on 30.
I've not seen that, but that sounds ridiculous.
Yes,
but
I cry every time when there's like, yep, that's it. It's a 13-year-old girl who wishes she were 30, turns 30, but is still 13 in a 30-year-old's body, and it's Jennifer Garner and Mark Ruffalo in like 2003. It's a movie you should definitely not cry at.
13 going on 30. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was
I also too. Cry every time at Homeward Bound, but if you don't cry at Homeward Bound, then I don't think you have a soul. So
interesting. Dave, do you have one? I've already embarrassed myself enough with this Blood Diamond. I don't think I'm gonna add to it.
I'll go Heaven Can Wait when the Rams beat the Steelers in overtime. That was sad.
Little Giants when the Cowboys.
Sorry, mine is Fever Pitch.
Fever Pitch. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. That's the end of the show. I think we covered a lot. Charlotte, you got a lot of stuff going.
We did so good.
Yeah, we did good.
We did such a good job.
I'll give us a C+ today. Now, what do you think? What do you got going?
What I've going on? Few things on Fox Sports app. Story about the Heat. Why I love them. That was fun to write. I've got a new People Sports podcast that will be out tomorrow with Mark Titus. Mm-hmm. And then I have, I don't know, just follow me on Twitter, follow me on Instagram, watch all my stuff. Thank you.
All right. Are we never going to see you again?
Literally like a real time short circuit. That was all the fires in my brain like blowing at once. Thank you.
All right, Dave.
She's driving the Chiefs bandwagon now. Didn't you hear? She's true. She's going to be busy with that.
I'll find that article and send it to you.
I know you. I have no doubt. I believe you, and I remember you actually saying that was the
case. I don't believe her, and I need to see proof. I need to see proof.
Okay.
Shouldn't be too
I'll give it to you. You're getting too soft. I like that edge, so I'll keep
there you
it.
Go.
Spoiler alert, before -3 comes out this week with Jeff Schwartz, I've already completed a gangbusters conversation with our guy Chris Long.
Look at you.
I mean, he's great football insights. We talk about whether or not Tom Brady is watching what the Patriots are doing and if Belichick is watching the Buccaneers. I think it's interesting human
they are
drama.
For sure.
He weighs in on Carson Wentz and what's going on there. And then we rank, as we like to do, win, play, show. We love to talk Game of Life music specifically, and we rank the greatest rock albums of all time. We went big.
Oh. I can guess what his are.
What are they?
One of them's definitely Pearl Jam.
Well, album.
Can't think of all the Pearl Jam albums right now. So I'm saying one is I can guess the bands. One is Pearl Jam. One is My Morning Jacket. And one is
Soundtrack to Blood Diamond.
Yes, soundtrack to Blood. I would say maybe Sturgill, but I don't know if he would.
No, this was strictly rock music, right?
Because okay. Okay.
Rolling Stone did their top 500 of all time, but then they're trying to do Love Supreme and the Ramones at the same time. Like, well, that you can't do it. It's like comparing a goalie with a with a right wing. I mean, they're two completely different things. Anyway, it was a fun conversation.
Was I right on those two? On two of the?
You were right on one of those, as a matter of fact.
So okay. Two episodes of Minus Three this week. Look at this. This is exciting. Very good. Listen to that. You're at Damashek, right? Charlotte's at The Wilder Things on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I'm at The Cousin Sal. Yeah, download, subscribe, rate, all this. We have a lot of nice and fun podcasts on there. Minus Three, Against All Odds. We have NBA picks. We have baseball picks. A lot going on there. Weekend Best Bets. Waiver Wired is the fantasy podcast. The Lemon Pepper Parlay Club. Oh, there's so much going on here. And Laugh Lines with me and Rachel Benetter. Not Benetter, doesn't end with an R.
I was going to say.
Listen, I have a concussion.
Your East Coast is showing.
Ever since she hit me in the head with her papers, I have a head injury and I can't pronounce
this rusher thing.
but let me just leave you with this. Oh. So, what it is a reminder that it's a reminder that even though you may feel like underdogs, you need to remember that you're all my favorites. See you Friday.